Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, October the 8th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart.
Michael.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
well,
you.
Welcome, everyone. We're delighted, blessed, and honored that you choose to spend this time with us. And this project is growing exponentially of delivering forgiveness and the support of human life to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So that's what we're here for. And we're just so happy to have each of you join us. I think it's Possibility Wednesday, isn't it? So in honor of Dora, we'll hold the space, and we'll look forward to the time when we get to hear Dora's sweet voice again. But Dora is the lady who started Possibility Wednesday, where we look at, you know, what does it take for people to be supported in moving through whatever they need to move through in order to live up to their highest possibility. And we're here to support that for every mind, heart, and being on the planet. I was interacting with someone in the last couple of days, and a thought came forward. You know, we've been doing this conversation about genetic anomalies that get passed and moved from generation to generation that change the structure of the brain, that change the structure of the genes. And a joke, a tongue-in-cheek line that I deliver in the codependence workshop is, what did God and the codependent have in common? And, of course, it's that both of them have a plan for your life. And when we're in this codependent state, thinking that, you know, we either need to have everyone live up to our own infantile demands, or we have to have everyone under our thumb and controlled, and if they won't be controlled, then we make up a story. And the stories about how they wouldn't obey, they wouldn't follow through, they wouldn't do as they were told to do. And to recognize it, what it brings to mind in the context of the work that we're doing in our ongoing conversation about forgiveness is that it would serve each of us to look at what category do our perceptual realities come from, especially when we're under stress. And we're under stress when we or someone else isn't living up to a goal that we have for ourselves or for them. And of course, we know that the core of forgiveness is to cancel that goal and access what's under the surface. But in the meantime, if you start to do some analysis, you know, at the end of each day, take a look at what kind of realities has my mind habitually come up with today? And if I took a look at the overview of my life, does my mind habitually come up with kind realities about others, critical realities about others, negative realities about others, and of course myself? And if I see that that's happening, then what I know is that I'm not in my highest and best space. And if I'm not in my highest and best space, then some part of me is suffering. And what the mind does is it hooks up its suffering to what's going on in the external world instead of realizing that one has control over their suffering. One has the ability to choose to do differently. But if one never awakens and strengthens that spiritual choice, then the genius mind will take control and perceive the way it perceives. In the Aramaic, we know that the first law, when they asked Yeshua 2,000 years ago, Yeshua is the man who's traditionally known as Jesus, but his name was not Jesus, Hail Zeus, his name was Yeshua. When they asked him, you know, what's the first law? He said, there's this condition that you need to hold in your mind. Now, the Greeks translated the passage where he says that as you've got to love the creator, neighbor, as self. But in Aramaic, what it says is, the long form of the statement would be, you know, there's a filter in your mind that keeps your mind on track for love and keeps the space open inside of you for your true human life to show up. And we have an easy definition of a human life, hold a newborn child. If you ever forget who you are, remember holding the newborn, that awesome presence of love. So what Yeshua is saying is there's a way to keep your mind on track. And one of the fruits of what's going on, what filters literally are set in your mind, is the quality of the output of your mind, the quality of your words, and the quality of your thoughts about self or others. Now, habitually, what will happen in the codependent world, which is what most of us have been trained into, is that when under stress, we will perceive ourselves and others through the same filters as our power person perceived and dealt with us. And we'll do the same behaviors. So if we had a power person, mom or dad, who was hypercritical, then the tendency will be to be hypercritical. And the mind will produce a story. If there's no reason to be hypercritical, then the mind will hallucinate a whole story about someone else in that hypercritical mode, because that's what drives the mind. They're the goals that drive the mind. And until those goals are canceled, that's just going to become the routine of the mind. And one of the other pieces of the puzzle that Yeshua gave us was he said that we needed to have humility. And, of course, once again, the Greeks missed the point, and they translate, the translations based in the Greek, sort of present this idea of humility as, you know, well, kind of grovel in the earth like a worm, then you're humble. But that has nothing to do with humility. In the Aramaic language, humility is the mental quality of being able to perceive and cooperate with the highest and best desires in others. That's humility. And so when we're able to perceive and cooperate with the highest and best in others, then the negative stories, the derogatory stories, the stories that were told to me by my power person that I now tell about everybody else who will not follow my infantile demands, is now eradicated because humility's there. He gives us, there are such awesome tools for shifting every aspect of insanity on the planet. It's just absolutely amazing how, if we actually understood what was there, you know, the provincial mind, whether the provincial secular mind, will dismiss, oh, that guy 2000, you know, that religious stuff, that's all baloney. Or, well, that's too pious for me. Well, the provincial mind who hasn't looked and doesn't know any better, doesn't have a clue that the most awesome technology is there for managing the mind, managing the body, managing the emotions, keeping and maintaining a state of high-level wellness that has ever appeared on the planet. It's just simple, straightforward. When you go back and you look at the Aramaic, it's just, here's how you do it. And, of course, it's not the habit of the world. And so it takes work to make the shift and to make the changes that it takes to bring oneself into truly looking for the highest and best in each person and supporting that. And so that's what we're here to bring forward, is that humility, that understanding of rachma, that filter in the frontal lobes of the brain. That passage that was translated, the first law is love neighbor, doesn't say love neighbor, doesn't say love creator, doesn't say love self. What it says is you maintain this gateway, this filter open in your mind when you think of the creator, when you think of neighbor, in order to maintain self. If you keep that gateway open, then your human life will always be present in your mind, whatever's happening in your world. And that simply makes a world of difference. And it's so practical from the point of view of health, happiness, and wholeness that it's monumental. And so that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to do. And let's say hello to Dr. Kim. And I understand that Julie has her hand up. So let's say hello to Dr. Kim and see what he has to share from the support group last night. And then we'll say hello to Julie.
Hello, hello.
Hey there, young man. How are you?
Well, blessed and highly favored, I think, would be a good way to talk about it. I had a fabulous breath session yesterday, and then seeing patients in the afternoon, and then went to the group, and we watched Empowered to Heal, the first half of that, where you talk about the energy that's most strongly resonant in us going out and affecting the quantum soup and collapsing what is a potential into an actuality. So we're actually creating our perception of the environment by what we hold most strongly within us. And that lecture, or the first half of that lecture, resonated some very deep questions from people. And as the questioning was going on and people in the group were answering, I was just sitting there watching and filled with this energy of gratitude for the fabulous people that attend that group, and had the very strong awareness that there are several people in that group now who could run that group and answer the questions of the other members from a space of love and without ego of trying to be right, and raise their own questions in response to questions, so that we're just asking people to observe for themselves and nobody's trying to be the expert. It was just a phenomenal experience. I had tears in my eyes as I sat in that group last night, just basking in the loving energy that those people bring to it each and every week. So it was wonderful. And then someone decided to do a worksheet, and this person had never offered to do a worksheet out loud in the group before, and that was quite a productive experience. And we had somebody there who'd never been there before, and so that was just a wonderful, wonderful evening and a fabulous way to spend 3 hours. So that's my
offer. Well, I hear you loud and clear on that one, and I feel like the opening that I shared with you and that I shared on the show last week that I had last Saturday was to a great degree a product of the space being held. I feel like the whole week was just such an awesome energy and such an awesome deepening for everyone in the group, including me. And of course, from what you've shared, including you, it was just fabulous. So that's a pretty cool space to be in. That's wonderful.
Well, so let's hear what Julie has to say.
All right, Jeannie, let's say hello to Julie. How are you, young lady?
Did you hear me all?
We can hear you.
Okay, well, I want to acknowledge you, Dr. Kim. I was going to talk a little bit about our support group, and it sounds like your support group is just absolutely doing fabulous. And that is such great experience to be around that energy and see you know, what you participated in, how you've helped those people grow, and how they're just radiating the love that you've offered them. So you remember, what you see in another is always in you, Dr. Tim. So hats off to you.
Yay.
Acknowledged. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And what I would like to say, we had a really good support group last night, too, and we listened to naturopathic keys to health. And then we had a little discussion, and then Magda did a worksheet. And one of the reasons for calling is I would really like to support Magda in her healing. As you know, last year she lost one of her cats due to a car accident, and then now another cat is missing. And she did a worksheet on that and her desire to be perfect, and I'm sure she's willing to share all this herself if she's on. And it was a really wonderful healing session. She did a fabulous work, and I would like to support her. If the cat's still alive, I'd like to support the cat returning home. We have a lot of really deep grass and woods, and so the cat could easily get lost. And my thought is that my feeling, and I feel like the cat's still alive, but I also feel like the possibility of the cat is a loss. But anyway, it was a great evening. Everybody kept love conscious, active, and present as Magda experienced again the loss of the cat. And I think it was a good process for everybody. We all either joined in, did our own worksheet, or we processed with her, keeping the space of love for her to do hers. So I just wanted to share that and, you know, get this group support to support maybe the cat being around, and also support the healing.
We'll hold the space.
Yeah.
We'll hold the space that the cat shows up again and is well and healthy and happy, and Magda is the beneficiary of the work that she was able to do with the cat's help. And it's also just, it's fabulous to hear that your support group is going at the same time, the same evening as Dr. Tim. So you can certainly coordinate energy. And we invite anyone who's in earshot, who's listening to this, if it's your thing to do, if you really want support in your healing process, then we invite you to start a support group. You don't have to know anything about the work. The people who've, you know, first time they heard it, started a support group right off. And so we have videos people can watch, and then discussion, doing worksheets, and it's a huge and powerful, powerful learning process. So we invite anyone that's in earshot to pick up and to do that. Jeannie has put a huge amount of information on the website for getting support group started, and so you can easily go to www.whyagain.org and look at the support group information. And she's got instructions and just all kinds of good insight information from several people who've started support groups and given us feedback on the, you know, the pitfalls and the things to look out for and just how to put it together and make it happen. And the reports that we get back from everybody who gets a support group going. And sometimes it's a challenge at first. I know that, you know, Dr. Tim, back in the early days, there were times when he would go to the support group and he'd be the only one there. And he'd watch the video and he'd do a worksheet. And there'd be one, or there'd be one person there or two people. I can remember one time years ago, I used to teach a 23-hour weekend class. And I did that 23-hour class for two people. And that's part of creating a space for a successful support group. So now, what do you have, usually anywhere from 15 to 20 people, Tim?
I don't know if it's my phone, but Michael, you just disappeared.
Well, I actually had just asked him if he, I was thinking that the support group is usually 15 to 20 people, and so,
yeah,
and maybe he's dropped
off. We're running 8 to 15. It can be 8 plus me or you know, 10, 12, 13, 14, or 15 plus me, somewhere in that range.
Awesome. So it's a powerful way to do one's own work, to get support for doing one's work, to support others, which is a fabulous way to learn the work. And it's one of the reasons we would like to see everyone. There's a selfish reason, too, is that what we're working toward is taking this work to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And it doesn't mean that we're going to get to stand up in front of 7.5 billion people and deliver the forgiveness process from the first century Aramaic. But what we are committed to is delivering it to enough people who will use the work, who will put it into effect. And what that does is it builds what's called critical mass in the physics world. And if you go back to the Aramaic language in the first century, what you see there, when you understand it correctly, is a physics language. When you hear Yeshua saying a little leavening leavens the whole loaf, I think we can be pretty sure he wasn't talking about bread. What was he saying? He was saying if we can get enough people to make the shift from the hostility and fear-based mind that tends to govern the world and move into the active presence of love, move into their human lives, that it's going to take just a small number of people to make that shift happen, energy to move, and then the most vicious, the most violent minds on the planet, there will be an energetic shift that will open the space for the pain, the trauma, the rage, the guilt, the grief, the fear, the terror that's in those minds that would impact others negatively. Those minds will open, and those minds will begin to let loose. And when I say let loose, I mean that literally, physically. I can't tell you how many times over the years in my own structure and working with others where people will have a major issue going on. That issue is something that's physical, it's mental, it's emotional. And literally, after doing a worksheet or perhaps doing a still point session, they'll say, I could just feel the energy leaving my body. I don't know if Jim's on, Jeannie, but Jim shared with us during the first intensive this summer. Jim came to Heartland, and he had been diagnosed with spinal stenosis and was bent over walking with a cane, and it was pretty tough, pretty bad pain. And Jim did a breath session, and he shared that he literally felt this physical energy leaving his body. And he, as I understand it, didn't even realize it, but Mick, who was there, and Judy were walking either up or down the hill behind him, and Jim is carrying his cane and walking straight upright. That's the kind of shift that can happen in one's form when one is willing to forgive, when one is willing to deal with whatever's locked into their structure that seems permanent, seems physical. And whenever those energies are resonating into activity, contribute to our negative perceptions of ourselves and others. And as one begins to use the forgiveness process to chip away with those things, and when you think forgiveness, think remove rather than let off the hook. Because we've been tricked. We've been given a Greek idea of pardoning, that is, I let you off the hook, and we've been told that's forgiveness. As long as we're stuck in that error, then we let somebody off the hook, we let somebody off the hook, we let somebody off the hook, we let somebody off the hook. But that doesn't address or move the energy that's in our bodies. There can be a benefit to letting somebody off the hook, because if you have some sort of negative energy tapped in or linked in with someone else, and you pardon them, it can unlink that energy from them, and that energy won't be part of your experience of them anymore. But it will still be part of the experience of your physiology until you forgive it. So you apply forgiveness not to them, not to yourself as such, but you apply forgiveness to the root of the pain, the turmoil, the trauma, the fear, the hatred, the vengeance that's going on, or just the criticism of your child, your spouse, whatever. You apply forgiveness to that, to remove that energy from your structure. And oftentimes people don't realize that their power person has been running them their whole lives until they do let go of that, and then they're able to observe, oh, my God, I didn't even realize I was doing that, and that is so like my father was. That is so much like my mother was. And put an end to those things. It's just, you know, it's monumental. So that's what we're here to support. And Julie, I appreciate the fact that you shared the happening and the invitation to support for Magda, and that you're part of that support group. It's just awesome to have that going at Heartland again and moving forward with the work. And well, we're out here moving it out here on the road.
Well, thank you. We did really have we could energetically feel the wonderful sharing when Magda was actually expressing openly her worksheet. So, I mean, I noticed all of us just were much more light, maybe lighter, but happier, you know, even though it wasn't the best subject, we joined. And, you know, even Magda said when she was doing her worksheet, she goes, oh, my goodness, I can feel the strength of this. So it was really, that was a nice opening for all of us.
Fabulous. Well, congratulations to everybody. And I don't know if anybody else that was there last night is on the phone, but it'd be awesome to hear from you and how it went. And Tim, I put out the invitation that maybe we could regularly invite people who are at the support group to also call in and just share from their perspective. You never know when somebody who holds a block around something and a person who, as opposed to just a facilitator, but the person who's sitting on the other end of it calls in and goes, yeah, and then when this happened, that just opened such a space, and people go, oh, that's possible? Build the brain cells for, oh, that's possible. So I just put that out there, and we'll see how it continues to move.
Well, I routinely mention to people that we have the radio show and talk about, as a matter of fact, last night, I was promoting one of the members of our group who has a family constellation workshop coming in 10 days. And this is just another wonderful tool for removing energies from the generations. And it's kind of a...
Right.
It is a live group experience where people do role play facilitated by a master therapist. And this therapist happens to participate in this group on a fairly regular basis. So we were talking about that. And I asked her to promote her work because of your two radio show intros on Monday and Tuesday, talking about the generational material and how we carry it. And so we're frequently mentioning that. I'm frequently encouraging people to call in. And I know that, those who are not working during the day will call in when they're moved to do so. And I join you in encouraging that and supporting that.
Sure. Cool. Thank you. And I'm actually, we're keynoting. There's a Spiritual Unity of Nations conference happening on Saturday in Grand Rapids. So we'll be keynoting at that conference. And we did just find out for anybody who's planning on joining us that, the conference will start at 9:00 and we'll be speaking at 11:00 and then doing a roundtable later in the afternoon with questions and answers. But I'm actually going to share the research that I shared on the show the other day about the rats and the fear around the cherry blossoms and the structural changes in the brain and the genetics. So, coming in and basically I'm going to be representing its Spiritual Unity of Nations. So there'll be speakers from many different religious disciplines. And actually, they have a beautiful poster with the symbols of all the world religions. And the byline on the poster is, there will be peace in the world when there is peace among the world's religions. But I'm going to start it out and, do a little shock therapy and tell them I'm going to talk to them about rats and see what kind of a response that gets and go into that research. And, just looking at the generational impact of these things, and that it's so much like a computer with a virus. Once a person gets this virus going in their minds, I have to run away, I have to fight, I have to. If one doesn't ever research and look into their feeling nature and stop doing what they feel like doing and choose, and literally this is a place for the intellect, an intellectual standard by which they're going to live, and then follow through with that standard regardless of circumstance and allow everything that needs to surface in response to that to come forward. It's just a major piece of work. So we'll invite everybody to hold the space for us on Saturday. I don't know who the participants of the conference will be. They tell me that they've got pretty much a full house of people already pre-registered. I think when I talked to him, yesterday morning, there were still about 20 spaces left. So if there's anybody in Grand Rapids, you can contact the Coptic Center. You can go to our website and the flyers there on yagain.org. And we'd be delighted for you to join us. And we'd ask everyone to hold the space that this opens another level of communication and healing in the world through the religions that so often carry such fear and such anger and such hatred that it's just time for healing. So we'll invite everybody to hold the space. And we'll invite everybody to join us in Grand Rapids on Saturday, this coming Saturday. We'll be there. And then, of course, on Sunday, we'll start Sunday morning. We're actually going to have a busy day. Maybe a weekend. Morning, we're doing the service at Unity, and then the four-hour Wise is happening to me again. Then at 6 o'clock, we'll be back to the Coptic Center to do their Sunday evening service. And then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, we'll be doing a series of free workshops. And then Saturday we'll be doing the one workshop that we do have a fee on, and that's the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. It'll be all day Saturday from 8 in the morning till about 6 in the evening. And then when we complete that, we'll actually get in the car Saturday evening and drive over to Lansing, spend the night in Lansing, and then we'll be at Renaissance Unity in Lansing starting at their Sunday service on Sunday morning. I believe it's at 10 or 10:30. I'm not sure, but the flyer's on the website. And they'll be doing a similar series Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, with Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing on Saturday. And then we're actually going to have a few days off, and we'll begin the 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive in an absolutely beautiful facility just a little southeast of Lansing, Michigan. So anybody who wants to come and do a residential training, wants to boost your work to the next level, will actually be combining the intensive is entitled Codependence to Interdependence. So in that context, we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Healing Through Relationships, Communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And then we'll move into the codependence work with Still Point Breathing, Hands-On Energy Field work. We'll be doing that with folks. So it's going to be an interesting 9 days. We'll be doing this awesome fresh and raw food regimen. By the way, the new recipes book is now available. Bring that up, and it's up to about 260 pages now, so it's a pretty sizable set of recipes. And aside from recipes, there's just a lot of really great information in it. We've put a lot of information about everything from peppers to sweeteners, and how to really understand some of the dynamics of what's going on with our food in the culture, oils and parasites. It covers a lot of material aside from fabulous fresh and raw recipes. So if you want to join us, if you want to order the book, of course, you can go to our website to the catalog page. And then if you want to join the intensive, you can look at the intensive flyer and get the information. And Jeannie, you've got a hand up for us.
I actually have two hands up. And the first one, I think, is our friend Vernie. 901, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jeannie. It's Vernie.
Hey.
Hey, lady. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Well,
good to hear your voice.
Thank you. The last 3 days, I have met my commitment that I made to you, a year ago, that I would start listening in again. It's taken me this long to open the space. Anyway, Michael, when you were talking earlier about the the terror and such in people's minds, and we know from what's going around the world that there's a lot of terror going on, a lot of fear, and among the religions, as you mentioned too. And person, I like to hear what's going on. I like to know what's going on around the world, But when, as we know, when we subject our minds to that, it's very easy to absorb it into our own minds. And so working, and I've worked with the Course in Miracles for a long time, and I formed, and this may be for help of people, for all of us who are watching it as what's going on around the world. And so when I hear these atrocities and perceived atrocities and such that are going on, then I have a little mantra that goes, you're not a body, you are free, for you are as the Creator made thee. You are one with me. You are pure. You are innocent. And this is not the Creator's will for you. The Creator's will for us is peace, love, and joy. And so it's going out. You know, I don't know what it's affecting, but it's my own way of breaking or not letting into my own mind and my own energy space that which I'm perceiving or I'm hearing through my ears is what's going on. So I thought I'd just, when you were talking about the terror and such, I thought I'd just offer that.
Excellent. Yes, that's a great thought. And, you know, I think that we can be Pollyannish and stick our head in the sand and pretend there's nothing going on. And which one of the politicians that said all it takes for evil to thrive is for good people to do nothing? And, you know, if each person who sat and listened to the news each night were to start off and connect to the active presence and bring a mind of love to that television set, if we could get, you know, how many millions are glued to, you know, the latest drama story? If we could get those people to bring forward the active presence of love while listening, there would be a shift on the planet that would be monumental. So as opposed to ignoring it, I usually suggest to people, well, if you watch something that's going on that's of a negative vein in the world, then, and you're unable to hold the space of love within yourself, then that's a piece of your work. Do your work and bring the mind of love to that situation. And we can literally, without ever knowing these people or seeing them personally, we can literally transform what's happening in the world. And that's based in just pure science and pure physics. You know, the world of physics is telling us that every molecule in the world is in continuous communication. What are we communicating? Do we communicate out of, oh, look at that terrible thing. Oh, how horrible, how awful. Oh, isn't that, oh, my God, oh, it's so awful. Or do we communicate, ah, that's definitely something that needs a shift, and I'm willing to contribute the energy of love. I'm willing to be in that connected space of love. And so I like your mantra. Maybe you could repeat it for us again as a way to keep the mind connected to love. That's awesome.
Okay, it's, you are not a body. And I use, you know, if I'm using the term creator, because not everybody, as you say, you know, I had in my work group, I had a lady who specifically said, I don't want any religious stuff, and I'm an atheist. Well, it's interesting because she's now very active in the Unity Church in Memphis. But so you can use whatever term that is comfortable, but it's, you are not a body, you are free, for you are as the Creator made thee. You are one with me. You are pure. You are innocent. This is not the Creator's will for you. The Creator's will for us is peace, love, and joy.
Nice. Well, thank you, Vernie.
You're welcome. Well, you know where that started was on 9/11. Remember after 9/11, and I came up to Heartland because it was so chaotic, you know, down here. And that's what we did. You were waiting for a time to get on the radio to be able to put that out there and say, we've got a chance to stop the fear energy that's going on. Unfortunately, we did not, you know, the United States did not take that approach. But that's where we started working with that, and it's just developed from that.
Right, yes. Well, it's interesting, and it actually, Bernie, it might have been you that that contacted me shortly after 9/11. You had been listening to the set of tapes that I had, and in particular, I think you called me
right.
a day or two after 9/11. And Michael, have you listened to the tape that you did? And I did that tape 15 years earlier on Pyramid
yes.
Prophecy. That was you.
Right.
You
tape
just,
number
I
25.
Just in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I speak
tape
of that
25.
Often. When I'm... Say it again.
It's tape number 25.
Right.
And it's I listen to it often, and I was having my crew members listening to it in 2001, because that was what the Pyramid Prophecy had said, that the major last major paradigm shift would be September 17th of 2001, and I was
right.
questioning as to whether it would be a covert or an overt, and when we heard over the radio that something had happened, both my crew members turned to me and said, it's a week early. And I said, well, maybe not. And you and I had that, you know, and Jeannie, we had that experience of that it was, you were trying to get on the radio to say, look, we have a chance to put peace in the world. And I remember clearly you, the day that you were able to get onto somebody's radio was on the 17th of September.
Yes.
And then we heard it on several other ones. So, yeah.
Yeah, and for those who would like some background on that, and unfortunately, you know, we haven't had those tapes converted to CD yet, so they're no longer available, but it's probably 35 years ago I did a recording of a thing called
yes.
Pyramid Prophecy. And basically, it speaks. One of the things that that the pyramid does is it has a passageway, and the passageway is broken down into what's called a pyramidal inch, a specific measurement that relates only to the structure of the pyramid, and that literally on this passageway, every major event in history is recorded. The birth of Christ, the death, I mean, every major event in history is recorded. And the passageway goes to a place where it goes up into what's called the King's Chamber, the upper bath, or it goes down into what was called the Pit of Unknowing. And the last date marked, according to the scale of the pyramidal inch, on that passageway, and this is something I did decades before 9/11, date was September 17th, 2001. And I think that the whole 9/11 thing set up for people to make a choice. Are we going to make it to the upper path? Are we going to go the higher path of bringing more presence of love into the world? Or are we going to go the lower path into the hostility and fear game? And I think we made a critical mass shift upward at that time.
I agree.
And it's working its way out and through. And of course, in order to make that shift, everything unlike that shift has to come to the surface. And we just hold the space that things keep moving forward and that we actually, as a species, really, truly return to human life, that active presence of love. And when I talked to you last week, Bernie, you were sharing with me an event within your church, and I just, you know, is there anything else we can do to support the healing around that whole event?
Well, I have spoken to different people. There's not really, doesn't seem to be a lot of movement. I'm trying to figure out how maybe I can offer something, say, on Saturday mornings for those who, you know, they, each person I talk to expresses interest, but I said if you get, you know, a group together who want to learn the tools, I will come, you know, and teach the tools. And so there's interest, but nothing really has moved yet. So I'm still, you know, dealing with my other situation and trying to get that resolved. And so it's kind of taken up some of my time. But,
Well, I understand that, you know, when people hear the possibility that, ooh, I could clean up everything from my genes, from my genetics, and live in that connected space of love, that's a pretty exciting proposition. And then when you get down to the work of, wait a minute, you mean I have to open my own personal Pandora's box? I have to look at what's in there, and I have to go through and sort through every piece of garbage and clean it up? You're crazy. And they snap the lid shut and turn tail and run. That's a dynamic that's changing. I'm seeing more and more people step into willingness, but when you realize that that's what you're really asking people to do, I certainly understand why a lot of people don't have the brain cells to even recognize that it's possible. There's been so much trauma down through the generations. And if you weren't listening to the show 2 days ago on Monday, you might want to check the archives and give a listen to Monday's show, because we talked about the genetic aspect of this principle. But, you know, until people get the brain cells that it's not as hopeless as a thousand generations of people who've been through drama, trauma, pain, turmoil, loss, guilt, fear, sadness, murder. You know, it's not as hopeless as those energetic patterns have been passed on to us, and that it is safe, that we can open this Pandora's box. You know, the philosopher said, oh my God, don't ever open Pandora's box. You never know what you're going to find in there. But they didn't tell us if we never open Pandora's box that our whole lives becomes Pandora's box. We must ultimately open it. But to be able to do that, you just have the brain cells that it's possible. And for people to stick around the work long enough, once they start to peek at what's in there, they have to stick around long enough to know that it's actually possible to do. And that's the beauty of the support group. So, you know, if we could even get one or two people started, that would be fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hold the space, and we're delighted to hear your voice and glad that all is well in your world. And we'll look forward to the next time we're passing through Memphis and get to see you face to face.
Yes, definitely. The door is always open. So was there another caller on the line in the queue?
I don't know. Jeannie?
Yes,
if you've got something else to share with Verdi, let's go for it. Verdi, if you've got something else to share, another question, go for it.
Oh, okay. I thought there was somebody. I thought there were two people in the queue. So, no, I would just ask. Oh, is there? Okay, I would just ask for anybody who's listening that they hold a space of releasing fear or helping with in the judicial system in the United States for the situation that we're working with, and just keep a space of having a shift back to justice.
I'll be absolutely hold that one for sure. All right. Well, lots of love and blessings, and take care. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Nice to have you on our team, Verdi.
Thank you very much. It's great having y'all on my team.
All right. Blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The next caller is area code 417. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is my... Hi.
Hey, young lady, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I was out taking care of the animals, so I didn't get to tune into the show until a little bit after, maybe 10 after 12, and I believe I heard Judy talking about our support group last night, and you had mentioned if there was anyone else who was there who would like to report. I do. I just want to take a moment to say that how miraculous it was for me to do that piece of clearing and healing, and it was because it was in the support group. I had already worked on the issue, many issues regarding my guilt, my sadness, my everything around the cat being gone, and not really completed it. I knew it wasn't complete. I'm I almost didn't do the worksheet in the group because I thought, well, I've already exhausted it. However, I still have this nagging feeling that there was still something, so I went with that guidance, and it was perfect to do it in the presence of all of those people holding love present. It really made a tremendous difference and a huge shift in my energy and my ability to clear out and heal my own issues. So that's a rah-rah for the support group, for our support group, and for any support group. Just wanted to give that feedback.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Well, we hold the space. I know that the person who was with you last year when the incident happened with the cat, I think, is still carrying some trauma from that, and so we just hold the space of healing for her as well.
And that was actually a different cat.
Yes, I recall that.
Yeah, okay, you're aware of that. It appears that cats
yes.
are very instrumental in my learning, and yes, I hold a space for her as well. Absolutely. Go ahead.
What a great contribution. We could call those cool cats, couldn't we?
Cool cats. Yeah, they are. Yeah, blessings. They are such blessings. So it's a really wonderful way to get some of the lessons that I have received. So yeah, they've been my furry friends. Yes. So that was all that I have. And I just recommend, as you do all the time, that if you really want to go deeper, get yourself a support group together. Even yourself and one other person is a support group. And sometimes it's just yourself, as Dr. Tim has shared with us. And the intensity of the energy, you know, after I finished the worksheet, I said to one of the group members, this was almost like being in an intensive, the energy of the intensive. And
right.
The group, yeah. So, okay, so that's it for today. Blessings,
right.
Blessings to all of you.
Much appreciation.
And you.
Your cherry.
All of you.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I see, down to about 5 or 6 minutes. Do we have anybody else with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room, Jeannie, for us to be aware of?
We did have a hand up, but they've disappeared. So if you're still on the switchboard, press 1 and you're in queue. We do have 6 minutes left. And now we're just general chatting in the chat room. And Magda, if you're still listening, Angela's in the chat room and she sends a loving heart to you. So we did have a hand just now go up. It's 516 area code. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Lisa LeMay.
Hey there, young lady.
Young
welcome.
Lady.
How? Say, I didn't hear that.
Just saying hello. Welcome.
Yes. How are you both?
We are rocking. All things moving forward.
Excellent. Well, I just wanted to get with you because it was a blessing that happened last Sunday at the Unity Church in Palm Beach Gardens. They announced that Dale Allen Hoffman was coming to our church.
Yes.
Yes.
That's fabulous. You guys are going to be blessed.
Really? And
when,
no one knew who he was.
Do that, Lisa? When is he going to be there, Lisa?
He's going to be there. I think it's the 24th, October 24th or the 29th. I'd have to check. And he's going to do 2 days.
Awesome.
It really is because you know how you wanted to share your blessings with that church. And so when I was all excited, so I told everyone after church that he was coming, and they all looked at me. I said, he works with Michael Rice. I said, Michael has the radio show, and he's on it once a week. And I just went on and on about it, and also talked to Diane about it as well. And so, like, just stood as a testimony to how fabulous he was and how much he could bring to our church, to the unity, as well as really having understood what Michael Rice is doing with the forgiveness work.
Right. Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to meeting him. And is he on the show this week? Is he on again? Because I wanted to save.
He'll be on Friday. Yes, certainly.
Excellent. I'll call in then. Just introduce myself, and if you speak to him, he always has a place to stay in Jupiter. And I'm just very excited about him coming. I just can't wait to learn everything.
All right. Fabulous.
Thank you, Michael.
Very
Thank you,
cool.
Jeannie.
So that's unity of Jupiter on either the 22nd or the 29th. Dale Allen Hoffman's going to be there. We'll find out more details on Friday, I'm sure, from Dale.
Unity of Palm Beach Gardens.
Unity of Palm Beach Gardens.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Is that Lisa? Lisa, is that different from Unity of Jupiter?
No, it's the same. She has dropped,
okay.
But it
okay.
is the same church.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, cool. So Palm Beach Gardens is called them. It's in Jupiter. So, fabulous. So we'll say hello to Reverend Diane, Unity of Palm Beach Gardens, and hold space for Dale being there and having an awesome and fabulous event. So anybody that's in the West Palm Beach area, and north of West Palm Beach, go and check out what Dale's doing at Unity of Palm Beach Gardens. It's cool. And let's see, we're down to about 2 minutes now, so we'll just start to sort of wind down by saying that we are, first of all, appreciative of each and every person who chooses to join us, each time that you choose to do that, and that we're here 5 days a week, from 1 till 2 o'clock every weekday, and we're appreciative of you joining us. And if you want to access the format for the forgiveness process, there is a new worksheet on our website. You can go to www.whyagain.org. And if you click on the bullseye, the second link will give you the latest worksheet. There's been a significant upgrade in the worksheet, and so you're welcome to access that. And, of course, our schedule is there for Grand Rapids. Starting Saturday with the Sun Conference, Spiritual Unity of Jesus. And then Sunday through Saturday, we'll be at Unity in Grand Rapids. And the next week, we'll be at Unity Renaissance Unity in Lansing. And then starting on the 31st, Codependence to Interdependence, Residential Intensive in Pinckney, Michigan, just southeast of Lansing. And it should be an absolutely beautiful time of year there. We're holding for fall colors. We're up significantly north of there, and the colors are beautiful right now. Still lots of green, so colors yet to come. And we appreciate you being with us. We hold the space that you give the world that you could possibly give, and that is you have the best year yet of your eternal life. Pass the tools on to someone else. Invite somebody to join us for the show tomorrow. Much appreciation for you being here. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.